average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
I'm the number one draft pick. I'm Tony Boselli. They sent private planes for me when I hurt my knee.
That's true. Everybody else
has to fly commercial.
That's true.
And then
I've got a burger named after me.
I don't remember little peons like John.
That's not true. I remember you, Pete.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's J.P. Shadrick.
We are off and running Jaguars Monday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli here in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco down in South Florida from CBS Sports.
I see the fair outside.
Yeah, right? We're
going to go ride some rides.
We might do that after on Victory Monday, Pete. The fair on Jaguars.com, the video
That's
version.
How we roll, baby.
Yeah, is Tony allowed to ride rides because he's too big?
No, he'll eat a funnel cake, though.
You're not tall enough.
I wasn't when I was a kid. That used to irritate me. We'd go to the park, and I'd be the one kid who wasn't allowed to ride the roller coaster.
Are you still,
that I like those things.
Are you tall enough yet?
I don't know, but I won't ride them anyways. I hate those things.
That's your excuse, huh? You hate them.
Yeah, I just don't lie. I never liked them. I'm not a roller coaster. Are you a roller coaster guy?
Not really. No, I don't like the ones that go upside down, no.
How about you, Tony?
I'm not a fan.
I have a feeling that if Tony went on a roller coaster and started flipping around, his hip would get bad again or something. You know, we can't have that. We cannot have that.
He'd hit his head on the overhang going underneath the tunnel or something.
I do worry about that. There's no doubt about
that.
Take your head off?
Yeah, I always.
You and Herman Munster both have the same problem, I guess.
Speaking of roller coasters,
you're so funny, Pete.
The roller coaster is over for the Jags. They've now won back-to-back games with a 23-7 win over the Bengals yesterday. We'll break it all down coming up tonight. Your calls in the second hour at 355-NFL1. We'll have the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Pro Football Focus grades. Let's start off, though, guys, with the Leonard Fournette situation. Sat down before the game, violation of team rules. Expected back this week, I suppose, but it looked like they didn't really miss a beat offensively the last 2 weeks without Leonard even on the field.
Pete, what do you think?
Well, you know how I feel about running backs. He's a really good player. He's a really good player, but this team is running the football without him, and the offensive line's opening holes. They're playing really good up front in terms of the run game, and that was shuffled around a little bit yesterday too. So, yeah, look, you miss him. He's a great player. Chris Ivory is not Leonard Fournette, and neither is T.J. Yeldon, but they've done a nice job responding to it. I want to say this about the suspension. I love it. And I sent that out yesterday in the morning, and I got some crap back from Jaguar fans. Oh, they care more about this than winning games and da-da-da-da. You have to send a message to this kid. And again, just talking to people, it wasn't
it wasn't one thing
awful. But it was more than one thing, right?
Yeah, it was
a pattern. It was a pattern of, you know, there was some late and whatever. Look, it's a pattern. It's a bad pattern. Send the message, and I think because he's a good kid, he just, you know, made a couple mistakes. So send the message, straighten it out, and move on. I thought it was great. I thought that Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone did a great job. See, I got to put it together.
It was Doug Marrone. It was Doug's decision. I know that for a fact.
I'm sure it was, and it should have been.
Well, then you need to stop saying the other thing.
I sent that out on Twitter yesterday, and Maurice Jones-Drew got mad at me. I said that was a great move by the head coach, Tom Coughlin, and his assistant head coach. But, you know, I'm kidding around. Doug's done a good job. I'm going to give him a lot of credit. And I thought it was the right move.
I'm sure
you agree with me.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. I actually agree 100%. It was the right move. I supported Doug before the game ever started, and I was happy that they won because I think it strengthens the message of saying that nobody is bigger than this team, no one individual. And that's not always the case. I mean, you can't always, you know, prove that point because sometimes it doesn't work out for you as a head coach. But even bigger to me, it's about time we give this offensive line the credit it's due. Because no matter who you put back there, they run the ball. And Leonard Fournette, is he a better back than T.J. Yeldon and Chris Ivory? Sure, he's a great back. Or he has the potential to be a great back. It's still early. He's fabulous, talented. But they're moving the ball, and they are successful no matter who is in the backfield. And the proof in that is, look at the numbers. They ran it again, And the way they finished that game of dominating on the ground and holding it for 9 minutes, it was unbelievable. And I credit those five guys up front and Mercedes Lewis. I credit Pat Flatterly, the offensive coordinator, and Nathaniel Hackett of the way they're calling plays and what they're doing. It's a great job by that group.
You just butchered Pat Flaherty's name, too.
I know, I did.
I didn't want to say anything.
No, I did.
Yeah. Oh, we have to because he's supposed to do his live read competition.
Oh, that's tonight.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Flats, I'm sorry.
JP, did you get to read them already?
Well, I write them, so I get to read them.
Yeah. What do you
I
think,
added
Tony?
An L on the end of Flattery's.
You added a few things.
Yeah, no, it was just an L.
I don't know what you added. Yeah, no, I added a bunch of other stuff.
No, it was just an L. It was one L.
It's kind of like that reminded me of Sports Code.
Yeah, it was bad. I don't know where that extra L found itself, but it just kind of came out of nowhere.
By the way.
But, hey, I want to say this. You mentioned 9 minute drive. Tony, how about the time of possession in that football game yesterday?
40 minutes and change.
It was unreal. It was domination.
We're burying the lead. I mean, okay, the Fournette situation was important, but we're burying the lead.
Yeah.
The quarterback's had two games in a row where he's played good football.
Very good football. And they're throwing. Pete and I both have said for a while, throwing early downs, when you can run the ball, that's the advantage you have, is throwing early downs because it puts such stress on the defense. And Nathaniel Hackett has done that the last few games. And it shows. And what they've been able to do offensively is outstanding. Now, with that said, they only scored 16 points on offense, which is remarkable.
Correct.
To be able to control the clock the way they did and to only have 16 points.
Well, that's what happens when you're a running team. That's what happens.
No, that's what I'm saying.
The defense is good. You can get away with that sometimes.
You can get away, and it's fine. It's the way they win. They don't take a lot of shots deep. A lot of the stuff is on over routes and play action pass. They got the big play to Mercedes Lewis. They get some deep ends. But that's the type of team they are. They check down to the back a lot. They're going to run a lot of screens. They're going to, you know. But they moved the ball, and they did it effectively.
But they did, in the one pass to Marquise Lee, you saw what they did early in the game, right? They had a bunch formation to the right, and they crossed receivers, and he came underneath one.
They did that a lot.
Yeah, well, they're doing it more.
Well,
why?
No, they did it a lot this game. Number one is because the Bengals run a lot of man, and they ran a lot of man beaters.
Correct, but they finally realized that their receivers don't win in ISO routes all the time, and you got to do something to get them open.
Yeah, the big story.
I thought Nathaniel Hackett had another really good game yesterday. You know, they love that one. Tony, you guys never ran that. I don't think the one lineman screen that they throw to the back releases late. Yeah,
or to the back,
or to the running back. Yeah,
that's a good play. I think they go to the well a little too many times. Few too many times, but they're moving the ball. Yeah. That last drive was so impressive.
Yeah. Hey, another big storyline nationally from this game, of course, was the fight. Ramsey versus Green. Well, Green taking him down twice after the push and shove and the yapping all first half. No suspensions coming down for either player.
The league should have apologized to Jalen Ramsey for kicking him out of the game.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
Why?
Okay, he was the instigator. And you're hearing rumblings around the league today that there was some things that may have been said during the course of the game that were said by Jalen Ramsey that weren't the best thing to be said. So,
okay, here's my question. Here's my question.
Apparently,
Pete.
So because Green's like a model citizen, right?
Here's my question.
And it wasn't, and the push wasn't going to make you do that. That little bump wasn't going to make you snap like
okay,
that.
Okay, Pete, let me ask you a question then.
Okay.
So you're telling me that if AJ Green does not retaliate, that they're going to throw Jalen Ramsey out for that push?
No, you're right.
Okay,
you
shouldn't have been thrown out. That's the bottom line.
I'll agree, but he got thrown out because he was
I don't care. It's
day.
Wrong.
I
it's
agree.
The wrong interpretation of the rule.
I wouldn't have thrown him out.
You shouldn't
have
been.
Out.
They should
you.
Apologize.
Maybe they could have thrown out Miles Jack.
Came and cleared off Green off the top there. The second
Correct.
Time he took him down.
Right. He could have thrown. Okay, maybe you made a mistake in throwing Jalen Ramsey out. But you easily could have thrown Miles Jack out of the game. Not only did he not just try and pull him down, he came blasting in and blasting him. So, I mean, you could have done it that way. Look,
I loved it.
Jalen Ramsey.
Sure look, it's so bad of me to like that. Yeah, it's bad.
No, of course you loved it. But if there are things being said in the course of the game, Tony, what's the worst thing anybody? I'm sure you can't say it on here, but I'm sure people said stuff to you during the game, right?
That yeah, you can't say it though. It's a different game back then.
Well, give us like a synopsis, like a clean
synopsis.
There's
nothing that stands out, but the guys say things all the time. I mean, there's all kinds of different,
like to the depths of the depths.
Yeah,
right.
But you see, hear the some of the things you hear in the locker room aren't much better. I mean, it just
should hear us pre-show in here.
Yeah,
me and Tony go at it.
My point is, Jalen Ramsey should not have been thrown out. He had obviously gotten into AJ Green's head. They would have never thrown him out. He would have got a 15-yard penalty just for the push, probably. He might not even have got penalized for the push because it was the play wasn't quite over.
Right. They probably didn't even see it.
The fact that they threw him out was criminal to me because he didn't – you can't say, instigated. What does that mean?
Well, they said – at first they said he thought he threw a punch, and I didn't see him throw
he
a punch.
He didn't throw a punch. We've watched the video multiple times.
You saw the report. You saw the report late today that from ESPN where he was in the locker room trying to get after.
Okay, that's after the game. That has nothing to do with it.
No, no, no. At halftime.
At halftime in the hallway. That was the report.
No, that's what I'm saying. After they were thrown out.
Right.
Right. But still,
okay. That has nothing to do with it, Pete.
Right.
He shouldn't have been
thrown out. I agree, Tony. But the bottom line is, there might be an issue here with Ramsey.
What's the issue?
Playing.
Tell me the issue.
Football.
He is playing football. I don't know if you watch.
You can't go into the tunnel at halftime and try and go get at a guy.
It's not the first time that's ever happened, Pete.
I know, but still, look. This kid is a special player. He has a chance to be the guy when it comes to playing the cornerback position. So everything you do now is looked at with great scrutiny. So.
I don't understand how he gets. I mean,
he still had a pretty good game. One catch, 6 yards for Green, right?
Yeah, I mean, he got in the head of AJ Green, and if it would have been called correctly, he would have had their best player thrown out of the game, and he still would have been in the game if it would have called correctly. Talk about taking a guy out. What else you want him to do?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that
what would you like to see different?
Well, I don't know. I should have done what he did in the tunnel. Come on. You're not defending that.
I'm not saying it's okay, but it's, you know.
Well, we don't know what he did in the tunnel either.
I mean, there's a lot of reports. I don't believe most of the things I hear. But half of the things
look,
I see.
I do know AJ. I've talked to AJ Green many a time, okay? And here's the thing on AJ Green. Even in the worst of times in Cincinnati, and I'm talking about, remember the Steelers Bengals-Steelers playoff game meltdown? Remember that disaster? AJ Green was always one of those guys that would come out calm, kind of looked around and saw that some of his teammates were being knucklehead. He's never the knucklehead. So something set him off to the point where, you know, like if that was perfect and he did it, you'd go, okay, I get it. If it was Pac-Man Jones, you'd say, I get it. If it was one of the, you know, back in the day, maybe Whitworth or somebody, you'd say, okay, I get it. But A.J. Green, that is so out of character for him that something went on during that game to lead him to that. And it wasn't – I mean, like, did you see the – Tony, did you see the play where he did beat Ramsey and Andy Dalton overthrew him?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I actually thought Ramsey was being kind of you know, saying, oh, you got me on that play. He didn't look like he was taunting him or anything.
I doubt that he was saying that.
Hey, nice route, buddy. No, he wasn't saying that, probably. No.
Yeah, but did you watch
Ramsey
the tape,
got
Tony,
Ramsey
today?
Got caught looking in the backfield in that play.
Yeah, he did. He peeked. Did you watch the tape today, Tony?
Yeah.
Did you see anything on the tape that you might not be able to see from the broadcast where they were getting into it or something?
No. I mean, I saw Jalen Ramsey being really physical with them and jamming him in the line of scrimmage. His hands might have got a little high a few times near the face mask, but I saw physical football.
Yeah, and again, when I saw it, I said, okay, something set off AJ. But it's also a good thing if you're the Jaguars. You're a young team. You come in here, we're going to show you. That's what they're going to say. They're going to show them that they're the bullies, right? They're the bullies. Don't come in here. That's why I can't wait for the Seattle game, by the way.
Now, let me ask you a question. Are there any receivers left in this league, or I shouldn't say left, but are there any receivers in this league today that'll look at the challenge when they play Jalen Ramsey and say, okay, I got something for you, and on the backside of a run or as they're jogging out of the field, go down and cut them. You know how receivers do that sometimes, Pete?
Yeah, like Hines Ward used to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are there any of those out there right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You know, most of the guys, all they care about
is getting the football nowadays. How about Doug Baldwin? Will Doug Baldwin for Seattle do that?
Maybe. He might. Yeah. That might be a good one. Good call.
There we go. Seattle game coming up.
Be interesting.
Hey, we'll come back and get into this offensive game yesterday without Fournette. The offensive line shuffled around a little bit. Blake Bortles, a big day. We'll break into that a little later. The defensive shutdown for this Jaguars football team. Coming up at Daly's Place, Jethro Tull by Ian Anderson tomorrow night. For tickets, call 633-2000 or visit daly'splace.com. Your calls in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Yeah, I feel good. You know, I mean, we're a running team first. I think there's no secret about that. I think everybody knows it, but that doesn't mean we don't have the ability to throw the ball. You know, we run the ball because that's what we're most effective at. That's how we can control the game and control the clock, keep the other offense off the field. So that's what we do, you know, and we're good at it. So when there's times that we need to throw the ball, we're good at that too. We got guys outside that can win. We got guys up front that can block extremely well, and we can make plays, you know, down the field in the pass game as well.
There's your quarterback, Blake Bortles. Yesterday, another efficient game, 91.9 rating, and a 23-7 win over the Bengals. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, Pete Prisco. Jags now 5-3, first place tie in the AFC South. Titans have the tiebreaker, a lot of football left. Yeah, we touched on this a moment ago, but let's delve into a little bit more now. Blake Bortles, 2 weeks ago in Indianapolis, had one of the best outings he's had all season, a rating in the 120s, very efficient with the football, scored it through a touchdown pass. This last time out, 24-38, 259 yesterday, a touchdown, moved the offense down the field and stayed upright. The offensive line helped with that, but for Blake, What is this becoming more of a trend than just a blip on the radar, it seems like.
Well, it's 2-for-2 now.
Yeah.
In the last 2 weeks, at least. I think after the Rams game, where the Rams basically came out and said, we're going to play goal line defense on first and second down, and the Jaguars had no answer. And Blake didn't play well. They still ran the ball halfway decent. They had a couple of big runs. But they had no answer in the pass game. And I think that was a wake-up call, not just for Blake, but I think for Nathaniel Hackett and the offensive coaching staff, saying, wait a second, we got to be more aggressive early to help out Blake and to create a better situation. Yes, we're a run-first team, and that's not going to change, but that doesn't mean we can't loosen it up a little bit, and especially on the early downs.
Yeah, I think they've been much more aggressive on the early downs, and we've talked about it all season, Tony. I mean, that's what they had to do. And he just looks like he's playing with more confidence. However,
here we go. They still
got to be able to drive the ball. They have to be able to drive the ball more down the field. Don't you agree? You would deny that. At some point, they're going to have to drive the ball better down the field.
Oh, yeah. No? Well, I mean,
okay.
You can 40 minutes of offense, you only get 16 points.
Right. There's no chunk. You don't get enough chunk plays. I mean,
that is it's hard. Now, if you're going to have – if this defense stays the way they are at this consistency, what are they averaging – what are they giving up points per game now? No, I mean, it was 15.7 coming in.
It's 14 and change now, I think.
I mean, yeah. So if you only give up 14 a game, then you can play however you want. I mean, you do that throughout the rest of the year going to Super Bowl. I'm just telling you right now.
So you called it again. Second week in a row, you called it.
Wait, if they average giving up only 14 points a game the rest of the way, they're going to be in the Super Bowl no matter what?
Yeah.
Wow, there it is. Put that out on Twitter. Pacelli's guaranteed a Super Bowl.
I didn't guarantee a Super Bowl.
We said that last week, and I doubled down.
No, I said if for every game, for the next 8 games plus the 2 or 3 playoff games.
And it's partly cloudy on Sunday and 72 degrees or cooler.
If they give up 14 or less every game, I'm not saying on average 14 or less, but every game 14 or less, then they're not gonna lose the game.
They're not going to lose a 14-10.
No.
Well, well, it could.
Well, it could, but I don't think it will.
I mean, come on.
But you know what I mean.
Well, I mean,
I'm obviously right, no, speaking you, in hyperbole
no, he's
right now.
But listen, and then you're talking about the quarterbacks they play, so it's not out of the realm. Okay, this week they get a good quarterback in Rivers. Then you get Cleveland.
Whoa, stop there for a second, Pete. San Diego's offense is atrocious right now.
Los Angeles.
Same team. They're bad.
But still, he's capable of being.
They're a bad offense. Go look at their numbers.
Right, but he's capable of being a good quarterback.
Oh, he is a good quarterback. He's a bad offense.
Cleveland is terrible on offense.
Yep.
Arizona will start Drew Stanton. He stinks.
AP rush for 159.
I know. You get Brissett at home.
Brissett's
then
a good quarterback.
Russell Wilson. Yeah, but still, it's Indianapolis.
Russell Wilson's a very good quarterback.
Right. And then you get Savage. And then you get maybe Jimmy Garoppolo. And then you get
Mariota.
That isn't exactly a murderer's row of quarterbacks you close out the season with either.
Really, Russell Wilson and Philip Rivers are the only two franchise quarterbacks
correct.
You face. Oh, and Ben Roethlisberger. Three quarterbacks out of 16 games that are franchise quarterbacks.
Right. But, I mean, the rest of the way, it's two, and you get one. You get two of them at home. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the schedule's favorable. I said it last week. If they don't win the division, it's a gag, okay? They'll choke it away.
Okay.
You agree with me. You got them in the Super Bowl, so obviously.
I don't have them in the Super Bowl.
You said it 2 weeks in a row.
I was being facetious from the standpoint of speaking in hyperbole. Not facetious, but speaking in hyperbole, this defense is that good. That's all I was saying.
You don't know what you're saying.
I have no idea.
Last week, it wasn't anything about the defense. No, Tony.
Cow.
Last week it was nothing about the defense. You were just talking. We went through the schedule and you put him in the Super Bowl.
No, it was all about the defense, Pete. If you remember correctly, and JP.
Yeah,
was,
I don't know.
JP.
Then we go through the schedule. JP.
We did. I was here. I heard
it was all about the defense.
I don't know. You just put him in the Super Bowl. Okay, I'm going to give you the Titans schedule the rest of the way, just because I like doing this. It's fun.
All right, let's do this.
Ready?
Yeah.
They play Bengals this week.
Yeah. They'll win.
AJ Green.
At the Steelers.
That's a loss.
At the Colts.
Win.
Even though they have so many problems with them over the years.
That's
a
win.
They really have. Texans at home.
Win.
At Arizona.
Win.
At 49ers.
Win.
Rams at home.
Loss.
And then the Jaguars. So you think they'll lose two more, and Jacksonville loses one more. Then that game would matter.
Oh, the game's going to matter. I think it's going to matter.
Because their schedule's pretty easy, too.
Very.
I mean, you got to if you're the Jaguars, you got to hope that they stumble against
Could
like,
you imagine
the
if they both went undefeated from here on out and you have two, you know,
well, one 12 would be for the division,
12
and one would be for the
12 and 3 football teams?
Yeah. New Year's
well,
Eve and National.
That would be that'd be the Sunday night game by
Absolutely.
The way, just so everyone
Yeah, they
knows.
Would flex it. They would flex it and one would be the division champ and the other one would be a wild card team.
Yeah.
If that were the case.
It's not going to happen. I mean, they're going to stub
No, heck no. It's not help. What's the best path since you got Jacksonville in the Super Bowl, Tony?
I don't have him in the Super Bowl. I mean, not the rain on the parade, but I love what this team's doing. And I love this. I mean, I love the offensive line. My two favorite parts of this team are the defense and the offensive line. I just love it.
Yeah.
The O-line and
Flaherty has done a great job.
They're shifting guys.
He really
in.
Has.
Flaherty has
he
done.
Really
I mean,
has.
I mean, the only change is Cam Robinson. That's a big change. He's a great, he's a fabulous player. He's still young, so I don't want to say he's great yet. He has the potential to be great. But outside that, it's the same cast of characters. And Flaherty has done, I don't know what he's done. And now, is it the fact that you have Nathaniel Hackett and Doug Marrone, who basically said, this is who we are. And so there's a clarity of identity that we're going to be a run first. That helps an offensive line coach. That gives Flaherty a lot of, you know, saying this is what we're going to be, and he can build it in the identity. Is that part of it? Is it just the coaching? Does Cam Robinson make that big a difference? Is it another year of maturity of Linder and Can? I mean, I don't know what it is. But I got mocked a few weeks ago when I said this was a top 15 offensive line.
Yeah.
Pete, it's hard to argue that they're not top
no.
10, 5.
You're correct. You're correct.
I mean, what else do they have to do? They lead the league in rushing. They have won the lowest sacks per play percentage. And, I mean, I don't know what else you would do to say, and they, by the way, they do it with four different running backs. So this is like, let me tell you what, Dallas's offensive run game production falls off when Ezekiel Elliott's not in. The Jaguars' offensive run production doesn't drop off at all without Leonard Fournette.
And
the last 2 weeks, at least.
You know what else, too? Think about how bad they were in the preseason.
Awful.
And I watched the preseason. Remember when
I was panicked.
Saying,
yes, I was like, this team is done. I mean, I didn't think they would. I thought they would have a hard time winning because I didn't think they could move the ball at all with this offensive line.
Who are the guards going to be?
I mean, I was dead wrong.
Who knew from August when you were just thinking they might win 3 or 4 games to November?
No,
it
was never
3 or 4.
Never 3 or 4.
Put him in the Super Bowl. Now you got him in the Super Bowl. You know what they ought to do, Tony? It's too bad they don't play a game in Minneapolis. They could do like you guys did that 1 year and keep your cleats thinking you're going back.
Thanks, Pete.
Maybe you know what else is coming out? Uh-oh.
You had to call Sirs for that one. You had to call Sirs.
We
got to
get Leon back and make a new song.
Let's come back and get to the defensive side.
But Pete, it's one of the most remarkable stories of this team.
The offensive line is absolutely one of the most unbelievable stories I've seen in the NFL, I think, since I covered. Because they were so bad in the preseason. They were awful.
You remember the preseason, the Buccaneers played the Jaguars. The Buccaneers were going the right direction. The Jags were floundering, not knowing what they're doing. Now you have the Buccaneers who might fire Dirk Cutter, are in shambles, and you have the Jaguar team at 5-3 with a dominating run team and the best defense in the NFL.
And we'll get to that defense when we come back. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think 37 snaps is tough. You know what I'm saying? To go by that he only played 12. I mean, if you said Marcel only played 12 snaps, everyone would be like, holy cow. You know, most of the time, you know, you're playing 60-something snaps, and those guys are around, you know, in the 30s or 40s, you know, somewhere around that nature. But I was very happy. He had 12 snaps. He had 3 tackles, and he had a quarterback pressure. So from a production standpoint, that's good. And then I thought probably – Avery Jones probably played his best game, you know what I'm saying, from a run defense standpoint. So I was happy to see that.
Doug Marrone on a conference call this afternoon with media. It was a victory Monday, so no players available today. They had the day off. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco.
I have a question for
Monday,
you.
Yes.
Why do you have a little fancy earpiece in? You're too cool for the headphones now?
No. I don't know. We had to shoot a thing earlier. I just kept it in. What do you want?
I mean, it's embarrassing.
Is it?
Well, I mean, you think you'd be a team player and have a headset like everyone else.
What else, Tony? Go ahead.
That's it.
Okay. Marcel Darius played 12 snaps.
Well, they only had 39 total.
37 in the game.
37.
He had 3 tackles and rushed the quarter, or hurried the quarterback.
And really,
they
only had 36 because, or 35. They had 2 kneel downs.
That's true.
They had 35 plays. It might be the fewest plays I've seen by an offense.
Well, it's the fewest in Bengals history in a single game.
Yeah, I mean, it was unreal. The domination.
Do you agree, Tony, that Avery Jones played much better?
He did play better, but he had his best game of the year. I agree with Doug. Darius is still a better player. I mean, just.
Right, but remember last week we talked about the fact that Darius was around.
Oh, yeah, he put a little fire in the backside. But
yeah.
Darius,
I mean,
he needs to be the starter. He needs to play over 50% of the snaps. He's that good.
When does that happen?
Today. Practice. Whenever.
I'm with you.
Yes. A minute. In fact, I'd probably play him 70% of the plays if he's in shape. He's that good.
He looked a little heavy.
Well, I don't know what he's looked like in the past, so it's hard for me to say that.
338 pounds is always going to look heavy, right?
I mean, what is he looked? Has he always been this big, JP? You're the Alabama fan.
He was not this big in college. He's put on weight since.
Well, how about in the pros? I mean, you follow
Buffalo around 330
tightly.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah, he's been around 330.
You're an Alabama homer. You follow those guys.
That's what it is.
Their entire
That's exactly
career.
What it is. This has got to be close to the heaviest he's been, though. I think 338 probably.
He played well.
He just looked. He looked heavy to me. He's a good player, but he looked heavy.
You got to be. I got to believe it's like rejuvenates him being on the number one defense. Now, he came from Buffalo. That's, you know, outside of getting hammered on Thursday night by the Jets, who was having a good year before that. So it's not like he was going from a losing team to a winning team. But just to be on this defense with the players, watching the tape, Pete, and it stood out yesterday doing the game, and then I watched it again today. They are so fast and explosive on defense. Like, you, they're suffocating. They really are.
Even when stuff looks like it's there,
I mean, just the closing speed and what they're able to do and the way they cover in the secondary is just – it's suffocating.
It reminds you of Seattle in their heyday.
I don't know if they rush the passer as well as Seattle did in their heyday.
No.
I mean, you got to remember that was –
their moments.
Well, no, they do.
Yeah.
But I'm saying one-on-one pass rushers and Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill, those two guys coming off both edges –
yeah, but remember when they won the Super Bowl, Cliff Averill wasn't there.
It was Michael Bennett. Who was the other one? It was
Clemens.
Clemens. I mean,
who could really rush the passer
back then?
Year.
I mean, they both were 10-plus sack guys, if I'm not mistaken.
Remember, they had Red Bryant couldn't rush the passer though.
But he was the first and second down guy.
Right, and then they had Clemens and who else? Was
well,
on
maybe
that? Lee Bain.
Well, maybe they do rush the passer because I mean, now that you say it, Pete, I mean, Clay's rushes it as well as Clemens. I guess the biggest difference would be Michael Bennett in his heyday was a guy you had the game plan for on third down. I mean, he was that disruptive from the three technique or from the outside. And while I think Ngakoue is a really good player, and I think he'll become that type of player where like teams game plan him like he's the guy. He's a second year player, and he's a fabulous pass rusher. But I think that's kind of the. He's one step away from being the guy everyone game plans. I think right now, if you're looking at Jacksonville, your biggest concern is Calais Campbell on the defensive front.
By the way, on that –
and that's every down.
They were on that team. Averill was on that first
Yeah, I thought
team.
They were.
Yeah.
I thought – I mean, they had Averill, Clemens –
that's right. Clemens came off the bench.
Yeah, they had three guys who could all – I mean, when they put them all in there, it was like, you gotta be kidding me.
And what's his name could rush the pass. Meebane was pretty good on the inside too. Right. They had that was a good front. And Bruce Irvin and Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright could run. Remember?
Right. So I think the pass rush is really good. I don't know if it's at that level, but it's close. I mean, you're splitting hairs either way.
Right. And there's a feeling right now when this team goes up two scores that or two possessions,
that's what
it's over.
And well, I tried to say that in the booth.
Well, we got the stats behind it now. 37 possessions that the Jags have had on defense leading by 9 points or more. They've only allowed 3 touchdowns. They've had 19 sacks, 8 takeaways.
I said it in the booth during a break. They went up by 2 scores in the end of the first half. Beginning of the second half, one of the two, I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Beginning of the second half. Mm-hmm. And I looked at Joe, our esteemed producer, who bothers me most days, and Frank Frangie, and I said, is it too early for me to say that this game's over? Because I felt like it was over at that point. And Joe and Frank rolled up into the fetal position, scared. You can't say that. You can't say that. It's too early. I said, well, it's over. I knew it was over at that point. Those two guys were scared, so I didn't say it. I respected the producer. Mm. Which was against my better judgment, frankly.
But it was over.
It was over. The team gets two-possession lead, unless it's they're playing Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. They ain't coming back.
I will say, yesterday was the third touchdown they have allowed with a two-score lead. It got them back within a one-possession game, but they quickly got back out to two possessions again.
That was a one-bust.
It was a bust. That's all it was.
He got rubbed or something. Didn't he get a pick route or something?
No, he was in coverage, and he went to defend it and got hammered by
Barry Church.
It wasn't even a rub route. They just ran into each other. It was like football follies. Like the best unit on the field had this one play that you're like, they looked ridiculous, but it was just – you know, bad luck.
You know, I saw a stat. I don't know. Did you guys see this stat somewhere where they said that Ramsey and Boye now have gone, what, is it 8 games without giving up a touchdown pass, which is like the longest a corner duo has gone.
No, because Boye gave up one in the Jets, so that can't be right. He gave it
I thought he did, too.
I thought he gave up the long – no, not the Jets. He gave up the Titans. Remember he gave up the long one and the Titans to the young kid?
It's been a while, though.
He gave it a long one.
Two.
That wasn't a touchdown, was
it? No, it wasn't. Was the Jets won a touchdown to Bobby?
No. The one to you're talking about the one to Taylor. That wasn't a touchdown.
But what about the guy? The one to the Jets to Bobby Anderson or Robbie Anderson, whatever his name is. You know what I'm talking about,
that.
The speed guy for the Jets,
Robbie Anderson.
Wasn't that a touchdown?
Was it Colvin though?
No, it was AJ.
Yeah, I'm gonna look. But I'll look it up.
But I can't remember the last time. When's the last time Jalen gave up a touchdown?
It's been a little bit. Has to be.
Wasn't this year.
Nope. Hey, let's.
They don't go near him either most of the time.
Right. They don't really throw his way much anymore. Let's come back and
speaking of corners, I want to bring this up for later. Remind Pete, we got to talk about this, and when we go around the league, the Tony Romo, Deion Sanders spat.
Yeah, yeah.
That's CBS. That's in-house CBS stuff.
Fun. I love it. This I love that stuff.
I do too. I think it's great.
We'll come back and look at the division, a little peek at it, and see what's coming up for the Jags. And we'll go the power rankings down the line. We've got the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night still to come. We'll get your calls, 355-NFL-1. What's wrong with you? You all right? Oh, well, Tony's mic is off. And this is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Microsoft, sir.
You know, we really haven't accomplished, you know, anything as far as what we've, you know, from a goal standpoint. We tied the first quarter. We won the second quarter. You know, we're going into this third quarter, and, you know, we've got to really, like you said, keep a focus on what we've been doing. You know, every day, you know, it's a daily focus that comes in here of what we need to do to prepare ourselves to win a game during this week. So we're getting ready to start the third quarter. We got a good football team coming in here in the Chargers.
There's Doug Marrone in a conference call earlier today.
I love the coach speak. Gosh, I love it.
Of course you do.
Day in, day out, focus one day at a time. Can't look ahead. Win the quarter.
Break it down into quarters.
Love it. Love that stuff. I can't get enough of it. Keep on playing it.
You want to replay it?
Oh, it's great.
I'd love to see one coach come in and go, look, I understand, guys. Look, I know it's one game at a time, one play at a time, but I know our guys are going to be peeking ahead just like everybody else. Come on, Tony.
I love it.
Why do you love that? Why do you love that so much?
You guys think it's great.
You're in the media. You should hate that.
Yeah, what's he really thinking right now?
That's the thing.
But if he wasn't going to say that, what else would he say?
That's the thing that you and Pete and other media people don't understand. That's actually how we think. He's being honest. That's how he breaks it down. Because you have to. It's a long season. You can't get ahead of yourself.
You don't think he's going the whole schedule like we just did?
No,
come on.
I guarantee he's not. He's
yes,
focused.
He does.
No,
he'll look at it at some point.
No.
You know what? Because I remember.
No, you're wrong, Pete.
In 96, I remember I used to play out all the scenarios, and I'd bring it to you guys in week like 9 or 10 or 11 and say, if you do this and you do that, you hope for that.
I mean, burping on
and
air.
And you used to get all mad, and you'd get mad at me, but then you'd go, really? If that happened, Tony, you
I
used
did
to
do
you
it.
Knew, yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No.
I'm going to tell Tom, too. He's going to get mad at you 30 years later.
I did. Okay, even if I did, let's say I did. The coaches aren't doing that, Pete. They're not.
They might say they're not doing
it,
but they'll
not.
Look at
no,
it.
No, they're not.
They'll look
no.
at it.
I love it.
One game at a time. One play
That's
at a time.
That's what you guys don't
one
understand.
Quarter at a
That's
time.
What you media people don't understand. That's actually
You're
what
– You're in the media, too. You're in the media,
But
too,
I understand this portion
that.
Of it. This is what you non-never playing football – People.
I played football. I played
okay,
football.
Okay, not when it mattered. I mean, Pop Warner?
No, I played high school football.
Where?
And believe me, in South Florida, Tony.
No, Pete.
A lot better than Boulder, Colorado football, I can tell you that. you were the biggest guy from like Wyoming
well, Pete, I'm
to
talking,
California.
I'm talking varsity. They didn't let people your size play varsity.
I played varsity football, Tony.
Pete.
You want I'll bet you.
Where were you left? Where did you play? Left out?
No. I played. Believe it or not, you're going to laugh when I tell you.
I know. I'm joking. You played guard. I know this. I'm giving you a hard time. That's the beauty about high school football. You can, all shapes and sizes play high school football.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Yeah, they do. Trust me. Go to my school.
They would. You know what they would do to me right now? I saw my old high school coach. I said, I'd never play now. These kids are gigantic. He'd go, no, you find a way. I said, they'd throw me right to the curb. I'd be gone.
But back
kids
to the,
are giant now.
Yeah, but you could play at Episcopal. You could play there. I'm just saying, you could.
Well, I played, but I played at the highest level of
we
the high
all,
school
we
football.
Have
can
all
you imagine Tony coaching you,
It'd
Pete,
awesome.
On the offensive line?
It'd be awesome.
At Episcopal.
He would have loved me. I never quit. I was a
yeah,
I was
I love. I actually
probably
liked,
dirty, too.
Love people like
I was
Pete.
Filthy. I was filthy.
He still is
filthy.
Filthy
player.
He still is. He's a filthy media
player. By the way, I had to drive down the other day because my flight was canceled, and I'm listening to the Florida State game, and they go, oh, the center's hurt. Now in to snap the ball, Andrew Bocelli.
Yeah, how about that?
So
I was there.
How many plays did he get in?
None. They actually called timeout and punted.
Oh, that's right.
And they never got the ball back because Syracuse tried to score and ran out of time.
So he might be the starting center next year then.
Well, I'm going up to Clemson this week. They play Clemson in Death Valley. Be interesting.
Let me ask you.
It's called
this.
Death Valley, right? Is that what it's called?
It is, yes.
And this is just a curious question. If he's not playing, why are you going?
Well, he's the backup, so he might play. And he's had, you know, so I haven't been up there. I can make it. It's one of the few games I can actually make. It works out. We're at home, and I can get back and forth. So I'm going to take advantage of it.
Okay. All right, I'm just curious, because if he was starting, I'd get it.
No, last weekend was the first game I've been to all year, Pete. So this will be the second one. Yeah. So
your son clearly doesn't adhere to my policy. If I'm not starting, I'm departing.
Yeah, I don't think that works like that. No.
Let's come back for the second hour of Jaguars Monday, the Tony Bocelli Twitter question of the night.
Yes.
Your calls, 355-NFL1 and Pro Football Focus grades. We'll see how the Jags did in this Bengals game, according to the TV tape. For PFF. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit priproductions.com. For the record, that's four perfect reads, Tony, tonight in hour number one.
When do I get my chance?
He's getting none, by the way, JP. Zero. He's going to go over.
Well, when do I read one?
We'll find out. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Somebody showed me it, and, you know, that's fine. You know, I think Cincinnati has a bit of a reputation for the type of guys they are, and I think you saw a little bit of that today. But, you know, I thought we did a good job as a team. You know, I thought Jalen getting thrown out was BS, and I thought we did a good job, you know, guys kind of keeping their head because they've had that reputation of doing stuff like that, you know. So I thought we did a good job of just, you know, playing as hard as you possibly can between the whistles and beat the crap out of them.
Beat the crap out of them.
Like, I like
Bulls,
it.
The quarterback,
I like it.
After
BS.
The game yesterday.
Whoa.
You know what I
thought this
you
was
know
a
what
family
I love about
show.
That?
What?
You know what I love about that?
What do you
it's
love about
so
it?
It's so easy to say stuff like that when you don't play them in the division. You know what I mean, Tony? If that was a division game and the same stuff was being said, and you wouldn't see your quarterback coming quite out and saying it like that, would you?
Well, if they were in the division, they wouldn't say that during the week either about we don't think Blake Bortles
can beat
it.
The Bengals probably would in their division, but
I was going to say, I think they would.
they might, but it's just easy to hear. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think it's refreshing to hear him popping off like that, but you know, Tony, you've been around the block. They usually don't pop off the quarterbacks like that when they're talking about teams in their own division.
Well, now I think nowadays you can because there's not much you can do. I mean, it's such a sanitized game as far as from the standpoint of how many shots you can take after the whistle or kind of in the gray area. I think it's called much closer than it once was, Pete, is my point.
That's why, and, you know, everybody's making a big deal out of the fights because there was one in that game, there was one in the Bucks game, there was one in this Arizona-San Francisco game, and we did a hit today over here, and I said, that was commonplace in the 70s and 80s. Every game would have at least one of those, right? I mean, it wasn't that big a deal, but we didn't have social media, we didn't have all these networks.
Even in the 90s it would happen. When I was playing.
How many fights were you in, Tony? Like true fights where you had punches thrown?
I got one in my rookie year in Cleveland.
Who'd you fight? I don't remember that one.
But I can't. There's a picture, a bunch of defensive backs that took a shot, and I took a shot of them, and next thing it's a. and then Baltimore.
Like Hanford Dixon and
probably,
those guys?
And then Baltimore. Yeah. The Baltimore story is my favorite story. I got thrown out of the game. And then, so I'm walking towards the locker room, and I hear Tom yelling, "Get back in." And I said, "They threw me out." They said, "No, they put you back in." And for whatever reason, they threw me out and threw both of us out, and then they let us both return. I have no idea why.
Who were you fighting, McCrary?
No, it was it was 96. It was pre-McCrary. It was Benny Thompson. No, the safety.
Benny Thompson.
Benny Thompson, the cheap shot artist.
He took a
cheap
shot. Player.
He took a cheap shot at Keenan in the end zone. So I took a full, full stride, full run at him and forearm shiver to the helmet and the back of his helmet and knocked him down.
Nowadays, we you get fined and suspended for that.
I got fined, no suspension.
What was the fine? How much? If you don't mind me.
It was like $7,000 back then. $5,000 maybe. It wasn't a ton.
Tony, I mean,
compared to what they are now.
It's the cost of doing business.
It was expensive to me back then. Sure. But
those were the only two you got, right?
Well, then I got a couple things with the Steelers multiple. One time with LeVon Kirkland because they took a shot at Brunell after he threw a pick. It was his own fault. But
that's right. I remember that one.
And then another one with Joey Porter because he cheap shotted Keenan.
You remember that whole story?
No, that was the Keenan. You're thinking about Greg Lloyd.
Greg Lloyd got him because he said he called his wife during the week. Remember? Yeah. Could you imagine how viral that story would go?
That was great.
He called his wife.
That was a story.
He made it up.
But they made it up, and then Greg Lloyd was all. I mean, it was great. We had great matches.
Wasn't there really the theory there? And I see him all the time at meetings and stuff that they signed Jim Miller that week or something. Remember? And the Steelers were angry because they signed him during the.
They decided. So there was a couple fights. I mean, then I got
Dirty. The one on Keenan could have killed him.
Yeah.
Remember?
And there wasn't even a penalty.
but the one in San Francisco yesterday, the quarterback Drew Stanton slid.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Drew Stanton. The other quarterback, CJ Beathard slid, and they blasted him. And as an offensive lineman, Tony, your first instinct is to go over and get the guy that hit him.
Yeah,
right?
you have to.
That's what you do.
Yeah, that's what you
do.
Whatever.
We heard from Blake coming back, so that gets us to the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night from Shay_J. If Bortles continues to be efficient and protect the ball, will he be the starter next year, or are they going to move on no matter what?
I would have said 4 weeks ago they're moving on. I think it's a coin flip now. If he continues to play like this, the way he's played the last 2 weeks, if there's eight games left, if six of the eight are at this level and they make the playoffs and win one playoff game, he's coming back.
He is coming. They have the option on him anyways. I mean,
that's what I'm saying, but he's coming back. He'll be the starter at $19 million or whatever he's making next year.
Does he come back on that deal, or do they tear it up and give him a lesser deal and give him extra years?
I think he comes. If I was them, I'd come back on that deal, one-year deal.
And if I were him, I would come back on that deal.
Yeah, play it out.
$19 million.
Yeah, play it out.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tony. I didn't think it was possible, but it is certainly possible.
Absolutely.
Got to keep playing well. Keep playing.
He's still not playing.
Yeah, here's the flip side. So let me say a couple things.
But
because here, I mean, you had the amazing catch by Cole that was a poorly thrown football. You had another one that's tipped and it's tipped into the hands of Marquise Lee.
He had a drop by Marquise Lee though.
That one too. It goes both ways. But then you had the one that he threw off the helmet of Brandon Linder that was dropped by the safety of the Bengals
near the goal line. Yep.
And so,
By
Sean Williams. So, and then he had the one dropped by Marquise Lee, that corner route, which should have been caught.
Missed Mercedes down the field.
That's not his fault. He was getting hammered. I mean, give me a break. It's not perfect, but it's way better than it was last year. He's making better decisions. He's more accurate. He's hitting guys.
Is it Alex Smith?
I don't think he spins it as well as Alex Smith.
Not this year's Alex Smith. I'm just saying.
Oh, maybe. But he's more accurate. He's allowing guys to there's the tip that they just showed. I mean, where was he throwing that ball? It was be nowhere near. I don't know what was going on there, but it doesn't matter.
It wasn't spinning either, that one.
No, it was not spinning. But he threw it and allowed guys to run after the catch. So I thought he played very well. Is it franchise quarterback, is he at the point where he's the franchise quarterback that you can say he can go win games for us? No, not yet. But can he be your quarterback on a really good team, really good defense and good running game? And can you win possibly even a championship if things go right and everything else is really clean? Yeah, I think so.
You know what? One of the things that would be – this is going to sound crazy when I tell you this, but one of the things that would be good for this team since they are going their way to the Super Bowl, according to Boselli, would be to fall behind by like 10 to 14 points in a game and have him being forced into a situation where he wins it. That would be a, because you're not, so far you haven't seen any of that this year, right? Where he's been forced to bring a team from behind and win a game. Right?
So I got one for you, Pete. In the last 20 years, there's four teams that come to mind that had great defense and not very good quarterback play.
Last 20 years?
I'm going to give you the four teams and the four quarterbacks, and you tell me where Blake rates. I want two things from you. How does the defense compare to those defenses?
Okay.
And how does the quarterback compare to those quarterbacks? Blake compare to those quarterbacks?
You know what? You could go even further and throw in the 85 Bears because we
No, no, I'm not going to go that far. That's too far.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
2000 Ravens, their defense, Trent Dilfer is the quarterback. 2003, I think it is, or two, Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense. It's 2003
right.
with Brad Johnson as the quarterback.
Right. Correct.
2013 or 14, Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson as their quarterback. And then the year or two later, the Denver Broncos defense with a way beyond his prime being benched during the season, Peyton Manning as their quarterback. So where
was
this
benched? He was hurt.
He was hurt. What are you talking about?
Okay, but he wasn't playing well, Pete. Is that accurate? He wasn't the franchise quarterback he once was. That's all I'm saying.
No, he wasn't the same guy.
He wasn't
Peyton
the
Manning.
He wasn't the reason they won. How about that? They won because of the defense and run game. Pete, am I wrong there?
No, you were correct.
Okay, so where does he rank those four teams? Where does the Jaguar defense compare to those four defenses? And where does Blake Bortles compare to those four quarterbacks?
That's a good exercise that you thought up in your head. I like that. That means you've been planning and thinking out.
No,
the show.
I actually thought about it literally
been
5 minutes ago.
Don't hurt yourself, Tony.
All right, defensive-wise.
So you have the Ravens, 2000, Buccaneers.
The Ravens,
2000
is number one defense,
okay,
for sure.
Okay, agree. Where's
they
number
have
two?
They still have the scoring record for a 16-game season.
Agree.
Okay, so they're the number one defense.
And what was that, 13 number points?
Per game?
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I forget. But remember, you guys
30,
scored like 36 on them.
Yeah, we dominated them, but go ahead.
All right, so one Ravens defense, two, I'll go Seattle defense, too. Three Tampa and four Denver.
And so where would this defense rank? Is it fifth or is it
fifth?
It's, so it's not fifth. It's not ahead of those, any of those.
No, not yet.
Okay, so where does Blake
Bortles? Would you agree?
It's hard to say because they've only done it for eight games, so it's a smaller sample size. But I would say they're every bit as good as – I think right now they're every bit as good as that Tampa Bay defense.
Really? Where's the guy put his hand on the ground like Simeon Rice used to do?
Okay, where's Jalen Ramsey on that team? Where's AJ?
Oh, some people think Rondé Barber's a Hall of Famer, Tony.
He's a cover two corner, Pete.
I agree. I'm with you on that, but some people think he's a corner. The safeties, nobody's as good as Lynch.
In that era, you're right. But yeah.
And nobody's as good as Sapp. I don't care how good Calais Campbell's playing, he ain't as good as Sapp.
And there's no Derek Brooks in this team. So I'll go back to Tampa.
All right, Seattle. You could make a case for it player by player like that, but they were better. And then we just said their pass rush was better, and their secondary.
Pass rush isn't much better, but I think it's probably
so. Baltimore's. I think I have it right. Who did I? Baltimore one,
Tampa two.
No,
you had Seattle two, Tampa three, two, Denver four.
Four.
Okay, quarterbacks.
The Denver team. The quarterbacks would be
the Denver defense. And the reasons why it's four, you could run on that defense.
Would Wilson be one because he threw 26 touchdown passes that year?
Okay.
Then, well, Brad Johnson was really good the year they won that Super Bowl. Dilfer's the worst. Dilfer and Bortles are the tied for the worst. Or
so
Bortles
who
is, that's
tied
who,
for the
who
worst?
Who would you take, Bortles or Dilfer?
Dilfer.
Really?
Of course you would.
Who would you take?
It's close only because of the athletic ability and the ability to extend plays and run the ball.
Yeah, you know what? Now that you mention that, Tony, you might be right. That gives him the ability to move around and he can run with the
Dilfer
ball.
Dilfer was a better thrower of the football. I mean,
correct.
Dilfer had a good
and
he arm.
He wasn't great at throwing. Don't get me wrong. He wasn't great at throwing the football.
But he was better.
Yeah. So how would you rank? So Wilson
I think I'm with you. Wilson, I go Wilson, Brad Johnson, Peyton. Only because Peyton was – everyone forgets he struggled that year. The ball – I mean, he had a tough year because of injury and he was really losing his arm strength. I mean, he was a manager. Now, he was great at getting them in the right play. I mean, obviously Peyton's the greatest quarterback of that group by far.
And in the playoffs, he was like, he found against New England. Remember, he found the bust, he got the tight end twice.
Right.
Because he could see it before the snap. Right. You're right. He wasn't great. But
so that's where I put it.
And by the way, the year that the Ravens won in 2000, Trent Dilfer was 7-1. Remember, he took over for Tony Banks that year.
Tony Banks
beat us.
He was
7-1. You know what his numbers were? 12 touchdowns, 11 interceptions.
Amazing.
Maybe Blake's better. Blake's ahead of him.
Wow.
Interesting. Exercise.
Well, they went five games, the Ravens, that year without scoring a touchdown and won every game. Wasn't it five games,
Pete?
Right. Is that right?
It was.
They were. Yeah. Here, I'm looking at it right now. Yep. They were. That was a bad offensive team. Atrocious offensive team.
Mm.
Yeah,
interesting.
They were really good on defense, though, man. That was nasty. And you talked about it last week, Tony, stopping the run. Remember, that's what they did. They had those two big guys in the middle, and they could stop the run, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
yep.
We've got a few minutes here before we go to break again, Pete. Let's get in the Pro Football Focus grades from this past game, the Jags and the Bengals. We always take a look and see how they looked on the TV tape to the PFF guys. And it angers Tony, which is the real goal. Are you ready?
It really does anger Tony.
It does.
Yes, let's go. We'll start with the offense. Actually, there's some green in here today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the green.
I don't know how. I mean, Chris Ivory has to be in the green.
Correct.
Wow.
I think Jeremy Parnell played really well.
Highest rated player across the board.
I thought he played very well. I thought Linder and Omame. Geno Atkins did nothing.
Linder got the highest run grade of anybody.
Yep.
And Omame's not in the green, but he's right below it, so they thought he played pretty well too. Didn't give Cam Robinson a good grade. Had a bad day, he said.
Cam was I wouldn't say a bad day. He was still good.
He gave up four quarterback hits.
He wasn't as good. His ankle, I don't think
was he
100%.
Still
yeah, he wasn't. He didn't move like he did the first seven games of the year. That's for sure.
And Shatley had a bad day, they said.
I would disagree with that.
Run blocking, minus. Big minus in run game.
Okay, they only rush for whatever. I mean,
but you can. So they can. I mean, but it's not to the point where Shatley would stay in and Can would.
No,
stay out.
No. I said it this morning. When Cam comes back, you put Linder at center and Cam back at right guard.
Oh, but Marquise Lee was in the green, by the way, and Mercedes Lewis is in the green. So.
I wouldn't put Marquise Lee in the green. He had two big drops.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And then let's go to the defense. Woo, lots of green.
The whole defense should be green.
It almost is. There's one guy in the red.
One guy.
This must be because of what he did. Jalen Ramsey
because he got kicked out,
Well, he shut down Green the whole game, first half.
Well, he got beat by Green on the – should have been a touchdown
one.
If the quarterback
to
play.
But if you go look at that, Pete, it would have taken a perfectly thrown ball. I mean, he had a step, maybe even a step and a half, but one thing we've seen Jalen be able to do is close ground quickly, and he was starting to close ground. And he had – and there wasn't a lot of room off the sideline. And so, I mean, he played the angles – he just got caught peeking in the backfield. That's all.
Who do you think was the highest rated defender on the field yesterday?
I thought Ngakoue.
Actually, there's a tie.
I thought Ngakoue was outstanding. I think
very high. 1.18. Gave a great best pass rushing grade.
I thought Telvin Smith was outstanding.
Tied for the highest grade with somebody else.
And then.
Wow.
Avery Jones got a high grade.
Played well.
They gave him a high grade in the pass rush. Did you see that?
No. It wasn't bad, but he had a little push. He had some push.
Campbell was in the green, and Ngakoue was in the green.
They all should
be
in the
green. Malik Jackson was in the green. Telvin Smith was in the green. A.J. Boye was not in the green.
Well, they gave up 154 yards of total offense. How is not everyone
Barry
in the
Church
green?
Church was in the green.
They had the ball for 37 plays.
It's stupid.
Marcel Darius
all right, we're
was
done.
In the green.
Let's go to break.
Dante Fowler wasn't. What, did he get hurt? He got hurt, right?
Elbow, looked like, I thought. He hit the arm of Andy Dalton when he was throwing, and he came off flexing his elbow, and then he came back in the game with a big elbow brace. So
you know who played well when he got into the game, I thought? And they actually gave him a good grade, but it looked good when I watched. Myrick did some things, huh?
Yeah, he played well. He did a good job. And how about, we haven't even talked about the punt return. How about that? That was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Special teams. Get it done. Lambeau, 56-yarder.
Lambeau, the best part about Lambeau is I don't have a stomachache every time we line up for a PAT.
Mm, I like it. Let's come back and get to some phone calls. That'll get in to Tony's craw
tonight.
Well,
I think the calls have been pretty good this year for the most part.
355-6351. Your turn, Tony.
Which one? You got to just point me out. I haven't looked at it. This is
much this
different
to
me. All right. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi.
Sweet victory is mine.
He didn't even make it to the first sentence.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over there today for the details.
This is like shooting fish in a barrel,
Audi.
Pete.
Oh, why geez. Is Audi? When I look at it, it doesn't look like Audi,
shooting
which is
fish
good.
In a barrel.
Well, in fairness, you wrote those and you practiced. I came in here today, Pete. And he was practicing all
fair.
The liners.
It's Jaguars Monday
it wasn't fair.
On Jaguars Radio.
I think we got our frustrations out when we came in the locker room. Everybody was obviously high, especially what happened with Jay. When I thought it was bogus personally, but, you can't talk about calls and stuff, so my bad. I thought it was a great call. But, we definitely talked about it. We were like, okay, we're going to go out there. We're not going to worry about what they're doing. We're going to go out and win this game and get out of here. And that's what ended up happening. It got better towards the end of the game.
You did see what happened to Jalen, though.
Absolutely.
You were the first one to the
pile. Absolutely. Yeah, I was first one there. I didn't agree with both players being tossed out, in my opinion, but my opinion doesn't matter. So,
there's Miles Jack in the locker room after the game. Brent Martineau with a question in between there.
He's lucky he didn't get kicked out.
Yeah, he cleared off AJ Green.
I'm surprised he didn't get a fine, because sometimes they'll get the guys.
It's so early in the week. They might get one still.
Yeah. I remember when I got in the fight in Baltimore, a couple guys, Ben Coleman and Pete Mitchell, both got fined. And they were all mad at me because I started it.
Hey, Tony, by the way, I looked on the – Robbie Anderson didn't catch a touchdown pass. So
he must have got tackled. Hmm. Yeah, he did get tackled. And I think the next play was the fumble, the lateral.
The lateral Miles Jack.
That's right.
How about that?
That's right.
And then what about the kid from – did the kid from Tennessee score, or did he get tackled as well? I think he got tackled as well.
They haven't given him a touchdown.
About that.
Wow, it's amazing.
By the way, real quick before we get to your calls, somebody, and JP, you saw it too. Yeah. Deshaun sent one of the funniest things ever. They got Andre the Giant choking out the announcer, and they said it's video of Tony and Pete having a conversation. You got a tuba, Selly.
Let me look. I'm opening it up right now.
It's actually pretty good.
It's about right. That's what happens in the preseason when you're actually here, Pete. Sometimes.
Yeah, well, he actually, you got mad at him in the preseason.
Oh, he started crying.
That's okay. No. Hey, let's.
I like it. Look at this.
I don't know what's funnier, the fact that he's choking him out or the fact that the guy thinks you're Andre the Giant.
I think it's better. Did you guys see, actually, I know JP did, but JP, read Jalen's Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah. Somebody sent me a tweet that Jalen Ramsey's Wikipedia page has been updated. He's an American football cornerback for the Jaguars of the NFL. He played college football at Florida State and was drafted by the Jaguars fifth overall in the 2016 draft. He's the father of three boys, DeAndre Hopkins, T.Y. Hilton, and newborn A.J. Green. How about that?
That makes me laugh.
That's funny.
Somebody's got a sense of humor. Let's go to the phone line. 355-NFL-1. We'll start out on Bay Meadows tonight with David. Good evening, David. You're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good,
couple quick questions. First, as far as the quarterback situation going into next year, I know that they're way under the salary cap. Is there any moves that the Jaguars can make this year, since they're so far under the salary cap, to maybe front-load a big contract in order to save them the salary cap? And also, Kirk Cousins obviously is going to be the big free agent next year. I know that, you know, that he'll cost a lot more than Bortles, but doesn't Kirk Cousins automatically make the Jaguars maybe even the top two or three teams in the NFL as far as contenders next year if they do take him, regardless of how Border plays the rest of this year. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Thanks for the call.
So, first question about getting some stuff done because they have so much cap room. I mean, they just spent like $18 million on Darius. Mm-hmm. So, I think they've sooner. I mean, I don't know where they are on the cap, but they paid Telvin. They loaded up on Darius.
Paid Linder.
So I don't know how much they have left.
They've got some.
Oh, I know they do. I don't know. That's why I said I don't know.
I just the whole next year worrying about the quarterback. Next, can we get through this season first?
So I'm at the point now. We're 5-3.
Yeah.
We're tied for the division lead. We have a big game with the Chargers coming here next week. Just like when Pete would want to talk about the draft and
playoffs.
I wouldn't refuse to, I will not talk about next year's quarterback situation when we are 5-3 right now.
We got a call in the post game last night about the draft. It was unbelievable.
Come
Two
on.
Calls before that, somebody's buying a ticket to Nashville for the last game. They're excited about the playoffs. Two calls later, it's a draft phone call.
Because you know what? They're
what are we doing?
Well, it's like
they don't have much cap space next year for anybody out there. They could create it, but they don't have it.
That's what
right now, as of right now, they're projected to have $2 million in cap space.
Right, because, well.
Well, some of that will go away because.
Well, do you think are they going to keep Jackson and Darius?
No. Or you wouldn't think, would you?
I don't know. It's a lot. Their cap numbers are probably $15, $16 million each next year.
I mean, they have. I mean, it's not that hard to get. I mean, okay, I'll tell you what his cap number is next year for what you're talking about for 2018, right?
Yes.
I'll look and see in a second. But yeah, I mean, do I think that they can keep both of them? I don't. Do you?
No, I don't.
Malik's cap number.
But I'm not going to worry about it right now.
Malik's cap numbers. This is what they would have if they kept all three: Calais Campbell 15, Malik Jackson 13, Marcel Darius 9. Or is it? No, it's more. I'm sorry. 17, 15, and 10. So you'd have $42 million.
Who's 17? Malik Jackson 17.
No, Calais is 17.
And Malik is 15.
15.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean I don't.
Dante Fowler's 7. So that's what?
Oh, yeah.
7.
But Dante Fowler's is all guaranteed, so you're on the hook for that no matter what.
Right, but I'm just saying. It's a lot of money in one position, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it's really good, then is it worth it?
Well, are you saying they have $2 million of cap space? That's including Blake Bortles at $19 million, by
Correct.
The way.
Right.
Which may or may not. Who
Which
knows?
You don't know what don't know. That's going to be. But
it's week
to your
10.
To your point, people calling and asking about the draft is they're so like mentally wounded for so many years of like automatically being programmed to go to the draft at this time of year. They just couldn't help themselves. But we're not going to talk about that.
We're not.
And we're not going to talk about.
They'll save $7 million by Alan Hearns' deal.
We're not gonna, can we get out of managing the cap next year, Pete, please?
The guy asked the question, Tony.
And I'm telling you, we're not going to talk about it, Pete.
Well, you don't decide that. You're not the producer.
I'm the boss, Pete.
Joe Fortunato is the producer and the boss. Let him
decide.
No,
he's not. He answers to me. He is the producer, but he answers to me. We all know this is the Baselli Jaguar Monday with Pete Briscoe and JP Shadwick.
You said my name wrong, bro.
Shadwick.
What are you talking about?
Shadwick.
No, that's not my name.
That's the way I call it, Shadwick.
It's wrong.
He put in your name.
Shadwick.
He's put your
name. You can't
name
even read a
Pat
card
Flaherty,
right.
Shadwick.
Shadwick.
You're on a roll tonight.
How could you possibly have a show?
Shadwick. I like Shadwick.
I've known you for how long? You can't get my damn name right?
Yeah, JP Shadwick.
Unbelievable.
What did he call you, JP?
Shadwick.
He called you Shadwick?
Yeah, that's not even close.
Shadwick. Shadwick.
That's not it.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yeah.
No.
That's what I call you.
Whatever. Let's go back to the phone lines. Saqib.
I like that
suspension.
Name.
Saqib, good to talk to you again. What's up?
What's up, guys?
Hey, man.
What's up, Prisco?
Yeah, how are you
doing, Saqib? Man?
He used to call he was a loyal listener back in the day when I used to own the airwaves.
Man, I love Prisco.
When did you
man?
Ever own the airwaves?
Prisco is like Dan Hicken. Well, bigger.
What?
But let me say this. how in the world do they justify A.J. Green not getting suspended? He choked out Ramsey twice. He put him on the ground and hit him a bunch of times. Good thing he had his helmet on. That is not fair because A.J. Green hasn't been in trouble before. That's what they're saying. That's kind of messed up. He should have got suspended, and he should get like at least $100,000 fine for what he did.
$100,000? Give me a break. Oof. That's steep. Crazy.
It's steep. I don't know.
That's just my point.
Well, the way
his fine is going to be a lot more than that because he's going to miss a game, maybe.
Who is?
Who?
A.J. Green.
No, he's already been cleared.
No suspensions.
Pay attention.
No suspensions.
Did he? No,
yeah.
Did it come out today?
Yeah,
it came out today.
Because Mike Evans is getting suspended.
Right.
Yes, he's the only one of the three fights getting suspended, yes, in the league yesterday. But that's also a good thing for the Jags because Green has the Titans next week. You'd rather have Green on the field next week against Tennessee.
Yeah, no, I think he should play.
So,
right,
you
want him playing.
Absolutely. Down the stretch here. Thanks for the call, Saqib. Let's go to Michael in Sanford, Florida. Paul Posluszny on your mind, Michael. What's up?
Yes. Hold on one second.
What are we holding on for? Yeah, we can hear you. Just start talking.
All right. Thank you. Sorry. Yeah. I want to talk about Puz. The guy's not playing enough. He played more this week. I love him. You think we can get the guy on the field more? I know it comes at a cost of
Stop. I love Paul Posluszny. But this is the number one defense in the NFL. And they have two young linebackers who are made to play at this in this era of football of in space, in nickel, where your nickel defense is, you know, the predominant front or defense you're going to call throughout a game. And you want to put Paz in there? I don't understand what your reasoning is. This is one of the worst calls we've had all year, frankly. And I love Paz.
Wow. That's nice.
Well, it's the truth. Sorry, brother.
I'm just saying. Like,
I'm just saying this is a bad call, so I think we should move on.
Look what he did yesterday.
I don't care. Listen, thank you for calling. It's great.
No, he shouldn't be on the field more than he's been on the field.
Right,
they got
great
two fast linebackers. They're a fast defense. It makes
I know you're
sense.
A Penn State fan. I love Posluszny. One of the great Jaguars of all time. One of the most underrated Jaguars of all time. But I'm sorry. He does not deserve to be on the field over Miles Jack or Telvin Smith in a – on the number one defense in the NFL. What's your
number three defense? But
no, they're number one. Scoring defense, they're number one.
That's true.
Scoring defense, they're number one. So tell me the reason why you say so.
More sure tackler. Jack blew the tackle yesterday. They called it a long play.
He did not blow the tackle. He got leveled by Barry Church. He never had a chance to make the tackle. So when you want to talk about facts and reality, call back. Thank you for listening.
Paul has a better jawline.
Great. See ya.
All right.
He's wrong, by the way.
Wow. Tony, going for the jugular there.
Ooh. JP.
Pulling an AJ
Green
on him.
By the way, I
want
to clear something up about the cap because Alfie, who listens to us and all the time, made a good point, and I forgot this. The rollover on the cap will give – and the space next year will give them more.
And we don't know how much the cap's going to go up either.
Mm. Right. They could have $30 million whatever next year, $40 million, maybe more.
Appreciate the phone calls tonight. We'll
that's
come,
it?
That's it, man.
Wow. Yeah,
that's it. That's
nobody
all.
Else wants to bring on – they want to take on Pacelli.
Get more calls.
We're going to keep them open.
JP.
Yes.
Give them a read.
Okay.
More read.
There you go. Hold on. 355-NFL-1. We'll keep the lines open. We got to go around the AFC South when we come back as well.
He's
Tony, read this. That he's, one right there.
He's flubbing
where,
it.
Where at?
The one I just pointed
oh.
to.
Oh.
Daly's Place.
The upcoming schedule at Daly's Place, right? Jethro Tull by Ian Anderson tomorrow night for tickets.
Nope.
Call
Ian Anderson.
Ian.
Okay, wait. For the record, Pete, I work with Ian Eagle. He spells his name just like this. I-A-N.
Yeah, but if you know Jethro Tull,
I don't.
Ian Anderson.
I don't know Jethro Tull, so no.
Okay,
sorry.
Okay, well, keep going because you got more words to flub.
Ian Anderson tomorrow night for tickets. Call 904-633-2000 or visit dailysplace.com. This is Tony Boselli. He's the short, fat guy, Pete Prisco, and my good friend, whose name I know, JP Shadwick.
Shadwick.
It's actually Shadwick.
JP Shadwick.
It's Shadwick. I know that. I like calling him Shadwick, though. So I've always called him that.
It's Jaguars Monday.
Yeah,
if you didn't know, it's
well,
Jaguars
it's
Monday.
Yeah, that too. And we got Joe Fortunato making it all work.
On Jaguars Radio.
We have to regroup. We have to settle down. We have to get our composure back. You never want to see that happen. It's not fun to see guys get ejected. This game is fun. It's emotional. You're going to be chippy sometimes. There has to be a balance. But we regrouped. We settled down, and we went out there and played good ball second half.
Calais Campbell,
I love. I can just listen to Calais Campbell talk with that voice of his. I mean, this is great.
You know who it is immediately.
Yeah. It's distinguishable. I mean, right away who you're listening to, much like JP Shadwick.
Thanks, Tony. That's real nice.
I just love that.
Let's go back to the phone.
You know what the funny thing is? What? I mean, I know your name's JP Shadrick.
Yes, thank you.
But for whatever reason, a long time ago when I put it in.
You'd put it in with a W?
I want to remember because
you didn't talk to me for like the first 2.5 years I worked here, by the way.
Because
he ignored me.
Logman
totally
always used to say JP
big time. His name's on the wall. Pete.
Logs used to make fun of your name.
Well, he still does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
That's where I got it from, the way Logs was making fun of your name.
Forget about making fun of his name. Let's get back to you're burying the lead. You big time JP.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Wait, how long have you been here, JP?
This is my 6th NFL football season.
So I've only been, just for the record, for the first 2 years
you've been around.
The first year he worked here, I didn't do radio for
the
Jaguars.
You were around.
I know, but I didn't interact with – it's not like I was –
He didn't interact with the little people is what he was going to say.
Who else did you not interact with?
He didn't interact
with
the little people. That's
totally what you just said.
No, I didn't. Wasn't around you, JP.
I'm not trying to accuse you.
JP, who gets you Christmas presents now?
It was like 3 years ago. What are you talking about?
That was a good Christmas present.
It was a really good one, yeah.
It took you a long time to use it.
It did. Thank you.
I'll get you another one this year. How about that?
Really? Is this on the record?
You know what it is, JP? What? He's feeling guilty.
I don't feel guilty. First of all,
no, I don't want a guilt present. No, either you give me a gift or you don't.
It's not a guilt present, JP.
You know, Tony, you used to have that reputation in the building back in the day.
Do you give Joe a Christmas present?
No, I don't like Joe.
Do you give Pete a Christmas present?
I like Pete less.
No. Wow.
Okay. First of all, you go ask the. I'm not.
Max, how about Max Hockman and Dave DeCandis?
They'll get Christmas presents this year too. Because I like both. Big D in Hollywood. I'm not going to get into. I'm not going to defend myself of how I treated the people here.
Big timer.
I'm not getting. You're wrong. That's not true.
AJP. Hey. You know what I saw? The game was on Thursday night, and they showed John Morton, the Jets offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's my buddy.
You don't even remember him.
I remember.
You know what? He looks like he might. Nowadays, he looks like he might have played guard next to you. He doesn't look like a wide receiver.
Just wait till this son of a gun gets in the Hall of Fame, Pete. I mean, we can't handle him now.
As big as that head is right now, it's going to be
JP.
I'm not saying a big head in terms of he thinks he's something big. I'm just talking about a
large
head.
Physically. Like
Tony, what was your helmet size when you played football? Do you remember?
Yeah, 7 7/8.
No damn way.
Yeah,
There's
it was.
No way.
Okay, it wasn't. I'm making it up. Why would I care?
Because it looks like an 8.5.
No, 7
is. Let's get
it's 7 7/8. That's pretty funny though.
Let's get one more call in tonight. Carlos is in Columbus, Georgia. What's up, Carlos?
Hey, how you doing?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Hey, Carlos, turn your radio off.
Okay. Is that better?
Yeah, much better.
I'm sorry about that.
You're good.
Hit us. What's up?
Okay, the first one. How many players off this Jag defense do you think can make the Pro Bowl this year?
11.
And my second one is, do you think that going against the Jazz defensive line in practice plays a role in the Jazz squared off to play this year?
That is a great question, Carlos. The second one. I have no idea on the first one. I think Jalen will make it. Clay's will make it.
They keep winning.
Telvin has a chance.
What, Telvin will make it.
A.J. Boye.
Telvin will have a problem with sacks.
Yeah, Telvin with sacks. A.J. Boye will have a chance. If Ngakoue gets up to 12 sacks, he'll probably make it. So I bet you, if I'm guessing, I'd say 5 to 6 guys will make it on the defense. It's a guess.
And
wild
nobody
guess.
From the offense.
Linder got hurt.
Fournette.
Nah, missing 2 games. It depends how
he
closes
rallies
up.
Here.
Yeah,
he
rallies.
Sure.
The second question is a great question. I do think it matters. I think two things matter for this offensive line. One is how they practice during training camp. I thought it was as physical as camp as you can have in today's NFL based on the rules. I mean, it wasn't a physical camp compared to what we used to do. But in today's NFL, it was as physical as it could be, and that was by design by this coaching staff led by Doug Marrone. And two, when you practice against good players and you go full speed like this group did, it's going to make you better. And, you know, I think the harder you make practice, the easier the game is. And blocking this unit is pretty tough. I mean, you block this front seven, it's pretty tough. And I do think it has helped. And I think that's the question of the year so far by a caller. Yes, best question of the year so far, Carlos.
Well, here's the second part of it, though. Here's the second part of it, though, Tony.
Yeah.
When do they back off of that? Or have they backed off of it? You know what I mean? You guys, I remember there were times in your career where you guys
were never backed off of it.
Right. But one year he did. It might have been – there was one year where later in the season he kind of backed away a little
bit. Yeah, I don't remember. I really don't. He could have. Pete might be right. Well, you know, you're limited now to 14 padded practices for the whole year. So you only can do it once a week.
Right, but do you think there's a time at some point where he doesn't do it later in the season?
Well, I think after a certain week, you're not allowed to do any more padded practices or something. Or I don't know how the rules are so goofy. They need to change the CBA, in my opinion. But
I agree with you.
Yeah,
because the football is hurt by the CBA.
Yeah, it's not as good.
Right, correct.
When's the CBA up?
I think 5 years, 4 years.
It's
unless they can prove collusion by Kaepernick, then immediately
good luck
avoided.
With that.
No, it's not going to happen. How about them asking for Goodell's, Jerry Jones, Kraft, and McNair's phone records?
Well, I will say this. If those are smart men who have made a ton of money and smart businessmen, if any of them are dumb enough to have texts on there relating to Colin Kaepernick and collusion, then they're not as smart as I or you or anybody else.
Could you imagine if that were the case? Pete, I mean, then you're looking at chaos in the NFL.
Correct.
Because the CBA goes away.
Yeah, crazy.
I can't imagine.
There's no
way. I can't
way.
Imagine it ever get. You know, and what is collusion? Is collusion saying, hey, are you guys going to sign Kaepernick? No, we're not going to sign him. That's not collusion. Collusion would be, you don't sign Kaepernick, I won't sign Kaepernick. You know, you got to remember, in 2008, Barry Bonds tried to prove collusion against the Major League Baseball, and they came to a situation where they said, nope, these teams have the right to not sign somebody if they choose to do so individually.
That's right.
He lost.
Yep. No, but that's what I'm saying. They're gonna have to. They're literally gonna have to have the quote unquote smoking gun, where two owners, because it only takes two, both say if you don't sign him, I won't sign him. That's collusion. Not that we don't want to sign him. I mean, that's your right not to sign him.
Or somebody in the league office telling a team not to sign
him. That would be the worst.
We thank you for the phone calls this evening, and we
call of the year.
We kind
of
angered Vaselli, and then we rebounded with a call of the year, allegedly. So
great job, Carlos.
Let's take a look at the AFC.
Just call Joe South. Fortunata and ask for your prize package. He has a prize for you.
You got his name wrong too. It's Joe Fortunato.
Joe Fortunato.
You said not us.
We're going to have to call him Tony the Butcher Vaselli because he butchers everybody's name.
Let's go around the AFC South. And, of course, the standings, the two-horse race right
details.
Now, Tennessee and Jacksonville, 5-3. Houston, 3-5. Indianapolis, 3-6. The Colts beat the Texans. No Deshaun Watson. They got issues in Houston. T.Y. Hilton had a couple of touchdowns, 175 on 5 catches yesterday for him. Titans over the Ravens, 23-20. Mariota had 2 touchdowns. Henry won on the ground. Flacco threw a couple of picks. Of course, we know what the Jags did. So with all that said, what are your power rankings in the AFC South?
It's easy. It's very easy.
It is very
easy. It's the Jaguars, it's the Titans, and then who cares?
See, I think it's the Jaguars, the Titans, and then the Colts just went in and won at Houston. So they're 3, and then the Texans are 4.
Okay, fine.
As constituted right now, the Houston
Jaguars
are a bad
the Titans, and who cares?
Right. But as constituted right now, the Texans are a bad football team, Tony.
Yes. Agreed.
There's no real way out of it down there either right now.
You know, by the way, they go to the Rams this week, and the Rams are 10-point favorites. Imagine if you said that before the year. The Texans are going to go play the Rams in week number 10, and they will be 10-point underdogs. Or you would have looked at somebody and said,
no chance.
I remember at the beginning of the season when people would look at the Jaguars' schedule and one of the guaranteed wins, that's, you know, there's five teams everyone said are just terrible teams. One of them was the Rams. They're now 6-2 leading the NFC West.
Highest scoring team in the league.
Sean McVay right now has to be coach of the year.
I think the three, if I and I didn't look this up, but I.
Although, you could argue.
Bill O'Brien.
If they win some games.
Well,
3-5, you moron.
Okay.
He's not Bill O'Brien. JP.
Are you an idiot?
Maybe I'm an idiot. Okay.
Doug Marrone, right. I was going to say, is a chance.
Okay. All right.
They go. They'd share it. Tom and Doug would share
stop,
it.
Stop, Pete.
They would share
it. If they get to 11-5 and win the division, Doug Marrone will
be.
He called you an idiot again, JP. He'll be in the running for.
Well, I deserve that one. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, you did.
I did.
I opened myself up for that one,
didn't I? I'm going to get him back, though, because he's got to read this card going to break.
Which
so,
oh, God. Right here we go. This is a fumble guarantee.
All right. The JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations, along with rides from the Northside JTB and Phillips Highway and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at jtafla.com.
Oh, I don't know.
Bam!
I don't know.
Drop it like it's hot, Pete.
The hesitation was a little
awkward
there. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
that's JP Shadrick slash Shadwick.
We'll give him that one.
Joe Fortunato or Joe Fortunato and Pete the Fat Man Prisco. We'll be back with you on Jaguars Monday.
Bye, Pete. We'll give him that one as long as he says hello to Ian Eagle.
It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Jaguars Monday continues. Final moments. JP Shadrick, Tony Vaselli, and Pete Prisco. And we got a tweet, Pete, from one of the gentlemen in the video department, football video for the Jaguars. In the big fella's defense, he gave the video guys a Christmas gift last year. Well, that's great for you guys.
Okay,
that's
I'm just saying, nice
for the football video guys.
I was getting attacked by you.
You should have.
By the way, I'm going to take back your Christmas gift I got you this year.
Well, you didn't give me
anything. Yes, I have.
You haven't even started shopping. It's November 6th. What are you talking about?
I started for you. You were first on my list. But now you've gone to the naughty list.
He doesn't buy the presents. If he got you anything, that means Angie went out and got it for
him. Yeah. Oh, Angie, I'd like to publicly thank you.
Angie get you the gift last time, JP? You think my wife got you that?
I don't know. It was 3 years ago. I can't remember.
Oh, you can't. Then you won't get another one. You're out. You're off. Joe, what would you like for Christmas? You can have his gift.
I would like you to stop reading cards.
Hey, Hollywood, shut up back there.
Hey, by the way, JP, since he shunned you for 2 years, he'd probably have to buy a Cadillac or something to make up for the way he treated you for the first 2 years.
Ooh, I like that. Or a sport coat or sports coat. One of the two.
Sport coats.
You can go to Rosenblum's and get you a sports coat like the ads he used to do.
Let's go around the National
Why do I do this show? I mean, honestly, it's the Baselli Monday Night Show. Why am I getting abused? It's not supposed to work
Tony
that way.
Romo and Deion Sanders.
Oh, yeah. Pete, let's go. Let's dig into this one,
round
baby.
Number one. What do you got on this feud?
So I kind of like it, to be honest with you. But, you know, look, he made fun of him because he didn't tackle. The bottom line is he didn't tackle.
But here's the problem if you're Tony Romo. Deion Sanders has way more credibility and way more ammunition than you do.
Ammunition, you said.
Because he's in the Hall of Fame, Tony.
And I'm done.
And he won rings.
And he won rings.
He won rings. He's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, hey, when he started talking about Tony Romo's his playoff record, interceptions.
Pretty funny.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
My favorite line is, he goes, "I was going to take the high road, but I couldn't find the address."
But, you know, the thing is that whole started when there was a video of Marcus Peters last week turning down a tackle. Did you see it?
Yeah, and he said he makes Deion Sanders look like a good tackler.
Right. But before that, Deion tweeted out that picture and kind of went, woo, or something. And I'm like, what's he talking about? Because he didn't tackle. But, you know, the thing about Deion was, what they used to say was 2/3 of the world is covered by water and Deion covered the other third. I
mean, that's how good he was. He was the best. He, to me, and I've been around this league a long time, if you could ask me to have one corner that I can pick from, he would be it. He'd be the guy.
Was he the best cover? Is he the best cover corner ever?
Without a doubt. And there's been some great ones. I mean, like Mike Haynes back in the day.
You know what would be fun, because I can't remember. It was so long ago. It'd be fun to go watch the All-22, Pete, of Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders going at it.
Yeah, that would be fun. You know, you can go to NFL Films, and they'll, if you know those guys, I'm sure you know, you can get, you know, a bunch of those guys.
I just go. I'll go down to Perk here, and I bet you he has them in the archives.
I don't know if he has them way back though.
I bet you he does.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, we still need to get.
If not, he can get them from NFL Films.
We still need to get your game tapes. When you go down and see Perk, go talk to him. We need to get the games against double digit sackers for coming up for at the Super Bowl, so we can start.
Okay.
You know, pushing that stuff.
I like that. Strategy right here.
Don't
hey,
remember, Pete,
Monday.
We can't talk about this too much. We'll get that one caller call in and rip us.
Let's go around some games this week quickly. The Saints, Kamara's pretty good. Touchdown rushing and receiving for the Saints. And are the Saints playing defense all of a sudden, Pete?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. They're playing really good defense. And granted, they haven't exactly played great offenses, but they're playing good defense. And
Lattimore's a good corner. Lattimore's a good corner.
No, he's a great corner. He's the best rookie corner by far. He's one of the better corners in the league right now. But you got to watch Cam Jordan. For years, the guy's been a really good player, and he's never really got to do. He's in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation. That's how well he's playing this year. And so, Vaccaro's playing much better. They get, you know, some of those – Okafor's playing good as a pass rusher. They still don't – you know, you mentioned the Jaguars. They still don't have that great Von Miller, put your hand on the ground, sacker, but they're getting around it. Dennis Allen's done a great job. I got to give him
so the Saints are the third team in the history of the NFL to lose the first two games of the year and then run off six straight.
Right.
The other two teams that did it, 93 Cowboys. Mm.
Good team.
2008 or 9 Giants, mm-hmm. both won the Super Bowl.
Good teams.
Yeah, this is a good – and you know what the interesting thing about the Saints team is they really haven't needed to get the gaudy numbers from Drew Brees. You know he's capable of it.
Give me the top three teams in the NFC, Pete.
Top three teams in the NFC. The Saints are one of them.
No, give me in order.
Oh, in order. Okay. I'd go one Eagles, two Rams, three Saints. Mm.
I'd go just the opposite. Eagles, Saints, Rams.
What about the Vikings?
Vikings, Seahawks.
No, I'd go Vikings, Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks lost to the Redskins yesterday.
At home.
Yeah, and the Redskins had, what, 50-something yards rushing in that game and still won?
So in the playoffs, you're taking the Cowboys versus the Seahawks? You're taking
Where's the
Cowboys over the Seahawks and if they played in
Where's
the playoffs?
The game at? If it's in Dallas, I would.
Why? They played in Dallas last year, and the Green Bay Packers took it to them.
Yeah, well, and Dallas would be a wild card team because they're not going to. I don't think they're going to catch the Eagles.
Yeah, so it'll be in Seattle.
So Seattle's going to be a wild card team too. Or they beat
they'll,
the Rams?
They'll have a better record than the Cowboys though.
But they'd have to go. They both have to go play wild card.
So games. They're not going to play each other. So it's a dumb argument. Okay. I stand corrected. This is like JP saying Bill O'Brien's the coach of the year.
No, that was nothing's going to match that tonight. It's time for Monday Night Football. It's a battle in the NFC North. Matthew Stafford
start
in the
over,
3-4.
Start over.
I love when he does that voice.
Yeah,
don't
yeah
you
I got. I need the voice. I need the
do the voice.
No, it was not as strong. There's sometimes you really get into it. And I need you
get
to get
the voice.
Into it.
Come on, do
come
it
on, JP,
because he hates it. It's great that he hates it.
I love it. Here we go.
Monday Night Football: a battle in the NFC North. Matthew Stafford and the 3-4 Detroit Lions visit Lambeau Field, and the 4-3 Green Bay Packers trying to stay afloat without Aaron Rodgers. It's 34 degrees at game time. Who you got today?
I love it, JP.
I love that because he hates it so much.
No, I actually started to like it. It's like, I enjoy the fact that he just, he sounds like he should be on NFL Films with that voice doing the Monday
Night
preview.
That's like the old Monday Night thing.
I love it.
Like, yeah.
I love it. I got the Lions.
I think the training wheels come off Brett Hundley today. Ooh. He had an extra week of practice.
Yes, they do.
On the bye week.
Yes, they come off and he crashes.
No, I think he's gonna ride the bike. I think he's gonna look much better.
He puts
it
in the ditch tonight, and the Lions win.
I like the Packers.
You're wrong.
I like the Packers.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
I love
there
it,
you go. More. We need more of that.
No, we don't need more of that.
No, Shadrick is...
JP Shadrick, one of the great announcers in history.
Shadrick has a strong voice. I'll give him that. He's not the sharpest tool in the shed, but he has a strong voice.
Bill O'Brien, Coach of the Year.
Yeah, that's Exhibit A right there. Pete, we'll talk to you next week.
See you, Petey.
See you, guys.
Pete Prisco, Tony Buscelli, Max Hockman. Dave Dacanis is here, too,
Big
tonight.
Dave, getting ribs.
Joe Fortunato, thanks for listening. I'm JP Shadrick.
Producer of the Year.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.